If it makes you feel any better, I have been working. We have enjoyed these last couple of weeks of traveling. I don't know about the bus driving, it hadn't been as much fun, but the traveling with the kids, the youth, you see just a portion of that. We have some incredible young people that are second to none. And we work very hard to try to make sure that they are equipped to be able to handle real life. We want them to handle real life. And putting them in situations that sometimes are dangerous, and I couldn't say any other way, it's dangerous to go out to Texas and Fort Worth. Just about 150 yards away, there's a guy that hung himself from a tree from that building you saw. That's how close we are to real life. Dealing with homeless people, But you notice every one of those pictures, those kids are smiling. Because right in the middle of it is where you find out how big your God is. You can't test your God in here. We only can brag on Him and praise on Him in here. We have to test Him out there. And they put Him to an extreme test, and I'm so proud of them. And got some great ones coming along, and looking forward to all that God is doing. If you'll turn your Bibles with me today, I'll get started on this thing because it may take me a couple of minutes. I only have about 3 weeks worth saved up, so shouldn't take too long. Let me get my eyes. You're turning to, in your Bibles, go to 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Look at the person beside you and tell them it's probably time to move. And moving is not easy. But in our lives, moving is a necessity. And if we're not careful in our lives, we're going to end up a lot of times in places and situations that is not going to be very pleasing. I don't know if you can see all of this. I'm doing the best I can to show it to everybody. We've got Grumpy Lane. Can you say Grumpy Lane? Okay, I'll try to turn it where everybody maybe see part of it. That's Grumpy Lane. And this is what? Praise Avenue. Now, I don't have to ask you which one you want to live on. But I also don't want to ask you which one do you live on. Because most of the time, if we're not careful, we find ourselves a lot closer to this one than we do this one. On our day-to-day lives, now we're not talking about Sunday morning when everybody's showing videos and we're singing about our freedom and all that. I'm talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about 3 o'clock this afternoon. And I'm talking about when things are not going well and the phone begins to ring and things start happening. In our lives, this becomes moving, and moving has its own obstacles. I find myself more than anything else struggling between these two right here. And I'll show you why. Because there's specific things you got to know about Grumpy Lane, there's specific things you got to know about Praise Avenue to be able to have your residence and to live in those locations. Let me say it this way. If we're going from Grumpy Lane to Praise Avenue, it's kind of like the children of Israel. The children of Israel in their time spent all of those years, nearly 40 plus years in a desert. Not because God didn't deliver them, but because no matter what situation they were brought into, they would always complain, and they was always grumbling, and they was always unhappy. It was never enough. If they had food, it wasn't the right food. If they had anything, if something happened, it wasn't good enough. They always wanted something better. And what would God do? Would God bless them? No. God would answer the prayer, but it would always push them back. And instead of getting out of that mode, instead of changing their mindset, they would become more grumpy. They would be more centered on what didn't go right. They became more eager to, let's go back to the way it was. Let's just go back to Egypt. Let's just go back and die. I mean, we're just out here wandering around in the desert. But all God ever wanted from them was to obey Him and to do what? to praise move to Praise Avenue. They could have gone into Canaan land if they would have just praised their way into it. If they would have just said, you know what, it looks bad, but praise God, we're going to go through. I mean, it doesn't look like we can win, but praise the Lord. There is more for us than there is against us with God. We are going to make it. If they would have just stayed in this side, no matter what it looked like, and would have kept the grumbling out, then life would have worked itself. God would have gotten involved. In fact, the Bible says in the Psalms, it says that God inhabits the praise of His people. David understood that, God, You are the God that inhabits the praise of Israel. You are the God that when we begin to praise You and cry out to You and worship You, You get right up in the middle. And the higher we take that praise, the thicker Your presence. And if we can get in our mindset of praise. Now, it's hard because I watched you this morning try to praise God and it's just, that's good. It's hard. It's a whole lot easier thinking about what's not right. And man, I could praise Him a whole lot better if this would work out and that would work out. And if that would change, man, I would be all excited. I would be excited if things could work out. But that has nothing to do with living on either side. Whether you're grumpy or whether you're a praise person has nothing to do with your situation. It has absolutely nothing to do with your location physically. It is an inward attitude that has to be changed. Now, let me explain it this way. And you're in 2 Chronicles. See, there's two choices that a person has. Many people live like the children of Israel, wandering. We wander from sickness to sickness, from heartbreak to heartbreak. Isn't it amazing you always get the raw end of the deal? I mean, don't that just seem strange that you never get the right side? Everything's always against you. Isn't it amazing? Everybody else has got it good but you. It's because you're going from situation to situation and you carry in it a grumpy attitude. And no matter how good it is, no matter the fact that you're still alive today where people aren't, the fact that you are healthy today to be in church when other people can't be, the fact that all of this, you don't think about those things. All you concentrate on this morning is what hasn't been right. And all you talked about on the way to church is what's not right. And all you keep talking about is things that hadn't been fixed and things that aren't worked out right and things that aren't going the way you want them and how your life is all messed up and everybody else is going good and I don't even know why I'm doing this. And you just like to live right over here on this side of life. Your situations aren't what holding you. It's the fact that you've lived through situations. You've been grumpy for 20 years. But it hadn't stopped you. None of it killed you. You just moved from one grumpy situation to another grumpy situation. If it wasn't a car, it was the next thing. And if it wasn't a house, it was the next thing. And if it wasn't a motorcycle, it was the next thing. You've got something to complain about every day of your life. And if everything worked out by tomorrow, you have something new to complain about. You're just grumpy. You're just always looking for the worst side. And we live there. And it's comfortable living there because everybody else we know lives there. People we hang out with live there. I was talking to so-and-so the other day. Man, they got it bad too. I'm thinking, why are you talking to them? Find you somebody that it's going good for and hang out with them. Somehow they're doing something that you're not. If I'm hanging out with people that all they do is talk about people, all they do is grumble, all they do is complain, and life is woe me, and that things aren't right, and you don't know how I've been done, and da-da-da-da-da. You know what? I'm just going to say, look, you just sit over there on the couch, and I'm going to go over here and find me somebody that's doing something and hanging out with somebody that's going somewhere besides where you're going. I just don't do well with that. I'm sorry. And so, in life, you've got people that live from sickness to sickness. It's everybody else. I mean, it's not me. It's everybody else that's causing this. You know, I love that part of it. It's everybody else. You know, it's amazing how 200 people can be wrong and you're right. You know, 200 people, they need to get up and get doing something. They just don't understand. No, the problem is we like living here. Look at the person beside you and say, we like living here. Because living there gives you an excuse for who you are and the way you talk and the way you act. It gives you an excuse to not succeed. It gives you an excuse to fail. Living over here is a wonderful place. The only problem is, no fun. Unless you got somebody else to hang out with, just in the same boat, and you're just kind of miserable together. So we live in Grumpy Lane. And in this 2 Chronicles 20th chapter, there's a man by the name of Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat could say, you know what, I came from that. Let me catch you up to speed. His dad's name was Asa. Asa lived here. Asa made a big mistake when he was a young king. Asa had decided he was going into this battle. And the battle, when he figured it up on paper and looked at it, he said, "Whew, we can't win this. This is bad." And so instead of turning to God, instead of praising God and encouraging himself in the Lord, or going to the priest and saying, "What does God say about this? Can we win this battle?" Instead, he goes and he finds him other kings, and he finds him other constituents, and he finds him people who will go into battle with him, and he wins the battle. But the problem is, he pushes God out of the situation. And the prophet comes to Asa and says, "Asa, you won the battle, but you lost the war. Because you decided not to give God His place, not to give God His honor, not to give God the place in Jerusalem that He deserved, and not to know that He's the real king and the real ruler of Israel, and because you wouldn't do that, and you're trying to manipulate for the rest of your life, Asa, you will live from battle to battle to battle to battle. You will never have a day in your life where there isn't somebody coming or somebody planning to attack you or fight you." And can you, anybody can agree with that? Anybody ever live that life? Because I've left God out, because I decided I'll handle it myself, I've lived from one mess up to the other mess up. I've lived from one battle to the next battle. I pray, but I'm doing it my own way. And I can't figure out why I just keep going from one situation to the next situation to the next situation. You know, I got some people that if I hear their name on the phone, I know it's nothing good fixing to come out. "Pastor, I just wanted to call you about so and so." "Okay. What happened? Go ahead, tell me what happened." I know it, because they have left God out of the main part of their life. They can be religious, they can be whatever they want to be, but God is not the center of their life. And because of it, they have to live from battle. I got cheated on this thing. And my car broke down. This isn't going right. And I done lost my job. And this is happening. Can I tell you, you're living a life without God. You wanted a life without God so you could brag about all the winning you did. Remember, you told everybody, "Man, I'm telling you, I'm glad I pulled that off. I'm glad I made it. I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I was smart enough to figure that one out. Well, guess what? You also have to take the other side of it, where I'm not smart enough, and I couldn't keep the car running, and I couldn't keep my job, and I couldn't do this. You've got to live on the other side of those battles. That's for somebody. We live an Asa life. How do you know it's an Asa life? I'll tell you how you know it. Because when a real calamity comes, a real problem comes, these people don't repent. These people don't humble themselves. Asa comes down with a foot disease. Of all the things, a foot disease. He's fighting, trying to survive, and now he can't even stand. Both his feet are infected so bad. Not one time did Asa ever call the priest. Not one time did he ever call a prophet. Not one time did he ever say, "Lord, would you help me? I'm sorry." No, the Bible says that he tried every doctor. He tried everything in his own strength, every ability he had, and died of a foot disease. And there's some of us in this room, we'll die. Oh, we'll fight the rest of our lives, and one day we'll just die. We're going to wonder, somebody's going to talk about it and say, "Did they ever get right? Did they ever just, did they ever just grow up? Did they ever?" I don't think they ever did. Man, I'm telling you, they fought it all their life. They fought against God. They fought against this. They fought against everything. They were going to do it no way but their way. It's quiet, so you know somebody like this. If we're not careful, we live Asa lives. We live lives where we go from one battle to the next battle to the next battle. And Jehoshaphat was his son, and he took over. Jehoshaphat is one of the three kings after David that is considered one of the great kings. So it don't always depend on where you come from. You can grow up in mess. You can grow up in junk. It's all a choice of where you want to live in your life. Look at the person beside you and say, God does not have grandchildren. So you can be a messed up child of God. But your kid can come along and be a great child of God. He don't have to be a great grandchild of God. He can be a great child of God. God doesn't do grandkids. Jehoshaphat has a shaky start. I'm not going to go through chapter 17, 18, and 19. If I had time, I would. It's fun reading. But he gets all messed up with Ahab, the other king. Ends up nearly getting killed. All 9 yards. Finally, Jehoshaphat comes to his senses. He finally grows. And when he does, by chapter 19, he establishes the priesthood. He tells him, listen, I want to know the laws. I want to know how we're supposed to live. I want to know what we're supposed to do. You set up that thing right. You do it. He's got everything in motion. He's done took it serious now. He is sick and tired of living on grumpy land. He is tired of living from problem to problem and situation to situation. He's wanting to know how to get over to here. He's wanting to know how to get to this place in his life. First thing you've got to realize is that there is a difference between this and this. They cannot be mixed together. They're two totally different locations. You can't praise Him here and then leave and be back. It won't work. It won't work. You've got to decide which side you want to live on. Now, sometimes you can be free from sin, you can be clothed, and in my life this is the biggest struggle that I have. I can say, Tim, you got every reason in the world to praise the Lord, but it's hard to do it. This morning I'm standing, I'm saved, I'm free, I'm healthy, my weight's down about as good as it's been in a long time. I'm excited about that. Well, I got so many good things going. But it's so easy to go there. It is so easy. I can name 20 things right now that I need done right now. Can you? Yeah. I drove up this morning, and even when I drove up, first thing I saw was me and Alicia's motorcycle. Grass done grew this high beside them. And I thought, they just sitting in the rain right. I ain't got time to pull them out. I ain't got time to wash them. I ain't got time. And I'm just sitting there. It's not nobody's fault. It's nothing. It's life. It's the next thing that says, you see me? You see me? When you walk in the house, and I walk in the house, and I have three kids, so it doesn't take very often before something's broke. Yep. I mean, I had three of them yesterday in the camper. We're doing the fireworks, and it didn't take me about 3 seconds. I'm sitting on the couch, and all three of them on the bed, and two of them are trying to go in the closet. The camper's not mine. I'm thinking, y'all get outside now. They're just living life. But I know it's going to be the next thing, and I got to work, and I got to fix, and I got to explain. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's life. And it's too easy for me, even though all these things are going good, for me to just settle over here. What's going on?
Oh, you don't even want to know.
You ever start most conversations like that? How you doing?
Oh.
You had the time. Now, we've got just as many good things going on. We're alive. We're saved. We're free. We've got all the faith. But we don't, when somebody says, how you doing? We don't say, I am so glad you asked. Man, I've been waiting for somebody to ask me that question. Can I tell you I'm saved? Can I tell you I'm set free? Can I tell you I'm born again? Can I tell you that God is good to me? Can I tell you that He's working on my behalf? Can I tell you right now that I had a roof over my head last night, that I was able to get into a car today that actually ran and got here? Can I tell you that God is good to me today? It's the same life. But I have to work very hard at it. Now, let me explain why that is. Because there's obstacles. There are obstacles to getting from here to here. Look at the person beside you and say, you've got to move. You have to move. And here's the first obstacle. You can write these down. You may just want to buy the tape later. First obstacle is fear. It is a scary thing to move from here to over here. I mean, it sounds good. I mean, didn't it sound good when I mentioned how you talk over there compared? I mean, it sounds good, but the fact is, when you meet somebody tomorrow and you got all the stuff going on in your life, and the devil's sitting there saying, don't tell them how good it is, because you know you're lying to them. And you almost feel like a hypocrite. How you doing? Man, better than I deserve. The enemy sits there and says, don't say that. Tell them the truth. Tell them what's really going on. Go ahead. Tell them about your life. And to stay over here and say, you know what? I got some stuff working, but God is just about to get it all straightened out. What if He don't straighten it out? Then I lied to Him. It's fearful to have to begin to deal with things. Now, I want you to understand something. Jehoshaphat understands very carefully, because the situation that comes up in his life to make him move from here to here is a very powerful. And there are three countries, mighty kings, that come together and say, look, let's all join together. I am so sick and tired of Israel over there. Let's come together and let's wipe them out. And three large armies come together and come against Jehoshaphat and Israel. And they're marching in. And Jehoshaphat knows they're coming. There's no denying it. They've gathered together. They're coming. There's no stopping them. They're outnumbered. There's no way to fight them. And Jehoshaphat is scared. Look at the person beside you and say, scared. Yeah. In the 20th chapter, go with me to verse 15. I'll show you what I'm talking about. And he said, hearken, all ye Judah, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid. In fact, before that, it literally says that when Jehoshaphat heard it, he was fearful. Now, I want you to understand something. There's a difference between being scared and being fearful. If I've got three large armies coming at me, and I know I can't defend myself, and I'm probably fixing to get wiped out, am I scared? If you've got any sense in your head, you're scared. You'd better be scared. You'd better have enough sense to know this doesn't look good. But now, being scared and being fearful are two totally different things. Being scared just means the natural reaction to something I can't handle myself. If I see a snake, I don't have to be fearful of a snake, but I can be scared. Even though he's way over there, I'm not fearful. I mean, he can't bite me, but that don't mean I want to get any closer, because just to hear him and just to watch him call, it's like, I'll just stay right here. You see what I'm saying? If you say, oh, you're afraid. No, I'm not afraid of him. I just respect him. I know what he can do. It takes good sense to be scared of things. But it doesn't take it to be fearful of things. Fear is a totally different entity. Fear is a spirit within itself that goes beyond just being scared. And now it begins to implant into my mind and into my thoughts and into my reactions what will happen. It begins to drag me over to here and say, oh, you know it's fixing to be bad. You know it's fixing to be. It's not going to turn out good. You remember the last time you was in one of these situations? You know what happened last time. And all of a sudden, I have to decide whether I am going to be fearful or not. It doesn't matter if you move houses. You decide to move from one house and sell it and move to another. That's a scary thing. I don't care if you trade cars. Anybody ever trade a car? When you got a car that actually runs. I mean, but you know it's getting older and you're like, I need to trade this thing before something happens. You walk in there and they offer you some little bit for it. You look at that new thing and you're like, man. Are you scared in some way? Sure you are. But you do it because fear doesn't grip you and cause you not to be able to react. And it works the same way with moving on this side. Yeah, situations are bad. Yeah, right now my kids don't seem to be doing well. Yeah, right now our marriage is struggling. Right now it is. But am I going to sit here and think, she's probably cheating on me? Yeah, I bet that's exactly what's going on. See, when fear walks in, now that my kids are doing drugs, you know, all them kids are doing stuff like that now. It moves from just being scared of some of the things that are happening to now I become fearful and I begin to be implanted into my mind the things that could happen. You know that's exactly what happened to Job? Job in his life, the Bible says that simply this is what happened. Satan came to God and said, God, I want to tempt him, but I can't. I want to do something, but I can't. You put a hedge around him. And God says, basically, have you checked him out really carefully lately? Because as soon as you check him out really carefully, you'll find that there are some fears there that are starting to grow, and there's avenues where you can enter into his life. It's the only place the enemy can enter. He can't enter in places you're scared. See, a kid gets scared, but he don't run outside. A kid gets scared, he runs to mom or dad. And that's all God wants. God says, there's going to be places where you're scared. But those moments are where you're supposed to run to me. Not sit down in the middle of all that being scared and let it turn into fear and just wait till something gets you. Because Job says, the thing that I feared the most has happened. I sat here every day and said, oh, I hope nothing ever happens to my kids. I don't know what I'd do if something happened to my kids. You know what, if I lost everything? Oh, I think I'd just lose my mind. And guess what? He lost his kids. And he lost everything he had. And in our life, if you're not careful, the reason you end up sick is because you've been reading so many journals, watching Doc on TV, and this and that. I think I may have some of that. You know, I hadn't been feeling good. I've been kind of sluggish lately. You know? I bet I got some of that. You know, they say that flu thing's going around. Everybody's getting it. Before long, you got the flu. So there's nothing wrong being scared. But if I can take my scare and say, boy, the flu bug's going around, well, I better get over here. God, I thank you that over here, that nothing comes nigh unto me. Doesn't matter if an enemy comes against me one way. It don't matter if any sickness comes through here. I don't care if I shake hands with whatever disease. It'll have to flee. It'll have to die when it touches me. It cannot come nigh to my doorstep. It cannot touch me. It cannot bother me. I don't say I don't get the sniffles and I won't get feeling bad for a little bit, but I will not be taken down. My body was not designed. You hadn't got one day for me to be sick. You need me well. You need me testifying. You need me preaching. You need me doing. So I'm telling you now, devil, you can't bring sickness into my life. Either I'm fixing to, the moment I'm scared, run to one or the other. Don't let being scared be the same as being in fear. Fear is where you end up over here complaining, grumbling, talking about how bad it is when you hadn't even entered it yet. Some of the fears that we start talking about hadn't even happened yet. But we've already materialized it. The first obstacle that has to be dealt with is fear. Number two, Jehoshaphat understands this. He understands fear. And God looks at him and says, Jehoshaphat, do not fear. Now let me tell you this next thing about moving from there to Praise Avenue. It simply is a private community. Go with me to the verse 16. Let me show you something. Now, if I can get in my mind that I am not afraid, I am not going to live in fear, I am going to stand here with God, now what I have to do is, the second obstacle is, I have to understand that I live in a private community. Now, over there, that's just a township. Anybody can go over there. But you can't just move in over here. You can't just decide one day, I'm going to smile. Today I'm just going to fill myself with joy. Today I'm just gonna forget all my troubles. I just believe they'll just go away. I don't care how many crystals you buy. I don't care how many Hail Marys you do. I don't care how many whatever you want to try to make you think that it'll just go away. This is a private community. It was purchased. This lot, this land was purchased by one individual, and his name is Jesus Christ. And the only way to get onto this property is that you have to know the owner of the property. When you start walking toward Praise Avenue, somebody's going to stop you. The enemy's going to ask you, where do you think you're going? I'm going over there. You don't belong over there. Oh, yes, I do. His name is Jesus. I met Him personally. And if you'll excuse me, I'm fixing to go get next to Him. And I'm fixing to spend time with Him. And I'm fixing to live with Him. And I'm fixing to reign with Him. And I'm fixing to have things with Him that He wants to do in my life. And you're not going to have any part of it. Now Jehoshaphat sees it the same way, but just a little differently, Old Testament style. Go with me to verse 16. For tomorrow, says God, go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand, be still, and see the what? The salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not. Do not be dismayed. For tomorrow go out against them. For the Lord will be with you. You see, just to move out of here, I can try to self-help myself and try to tell myself it's going to be better and try to convince myself. You know, you can buy tapes on talking better and changing your attitude and all these things. But you still live in here. You may not want to talk about it, but you're still living. On the inside, it's still bad. On the inside, but the only way to be able to push back the fear, the only way to really be able to move over here is to understand that there has to be somebody who's got property that I don't own and nobody else can take it away from them. And I can move over to here. And God looks down and says, listen to me, you can come out of that and you can live over here simply because I am God and I am with you and I'm going to defend you and you don't have to fight your battle. You just praise me and you just live in praise and you live in adoration, and I will fight your battles for you. So I don't have to worry about the problem. Because the world's going to say, what are you going to do about that? I'm not. God is. I'm just going to praise Him. Well, you can't just do nothing. Why can't I? What would you do about this problem? I don't know. I'd do something. You think it would work? Name me somebody it worked for. But I can come over here and I can do it God's way. It says, Tim, you don't have to fight your battles anymore. You lay down your life. And the only thing I need you is I need you to offer me a sacrifice. The sacrifice of praise that's worthy of me. I need you to offer me a sacrifice of praise that I will take care of you. That I will fight your battles. Now that's got to get past fear. I've got to get past fear because when somebody asks me, well, what are you going to do? I'm just going to let God take care of it. Well, how are you going to fix that? I'm not. God's going to have to fix that. Well, I don't see how in the world that's going to work. I don't either. But God's working on it even while I'm sleeping. God's in the middle of it. And God's going to make a way. And when it's said and done, there won't be something I did or somebody else did, but God will get full credit for everything that He's done in the middle of it. That's why we have a problem moving from over here to over here. You see why it's easier to be grumpy? It's a whole lot easier to be grumpy than it is to let go of your fears and to do it scared. It's a whole lot easier to simply stay over here and be able to try. Because, I mean, that seems like a good thing, to try to fix your problem, to try to do better, to try to work on. I mean, that sounds really heroic. Man, I'm trying. Well, that's sad. I'm doing the best I can. Well, that's pitiful. Because the best that you can do, the hardest you try, isn't enough. There's a story that goes like this. There was a man died. And when he died, he stood before the gates of heaven. And the angel looked at him and said, it takes 1,000 points to get into heaven. 1,000 points. He said, well, that ain't too bad. He said, the angel looked at him and said, tell me some stuff about you. Let's see if we can figure this thing out. He said, well, sir, I've gone to church all my life. In fact, he pulled out a card. He had been an active member of that church for 40-something years. He had only missed one Sunday in 40 years because of the death. And the angel looked at him and said, whew, that is good. That's worth at least 2 points. 2 points. Well, there's got to be some more stuff you've done. Well, I used to be on the visitation committee, and I've led at least 6 people over my life to the Lord. Ooh, that's real good. That's 3 points. You've got 5 points. Only 995 left to go. That guy just looked depressed. He said, I ain't getting in heaven except by the grace of God. And the angel said, 1,000 points. Come on in. There is no amount of doing. And what makes us grumpy most of the time is the fact that we showed up to church today because we're trying to do right. That's grumpy. It's got to feel miserable trying to do right. I don't know what that's like. I'm a total mess up. It's got to be frustrating to try to live for the Lord. It's got to be frustrating trying not to mess up. Trying not to make a mistake. Because it's a whole lot more fun realizing that I can't do anything for myself. I couldn't before I came to Him, so why all of a sudden now that He just because He forgave me my sins, am I going to do it all right now? No, I need Him more now than I did yesterday. That day I just came to my senses and realized, God, without grace, I can't make it. God said, absolutely, Tim. Just come on over here and start praising me for that. Lord, I want to do right. I'm going to help you, Tim. I'm going to show you how to walk and I'm going to show you how to run. But the whole goal of your life is to praise me because you are not going to earn enough points. You are not going to do it. If you could have, I wouldn't have had to let Jesus die. But Jesus died because you couldn't do it. The only thing you bring is praise. The only thing you bring is praise. That's why the richest person in town can sit right here with the poorest person in town. Because there is no class when it comes to God. You don't own enough brownie points and you don't have enough clout. The only way to live over here is to understand there's only one man that bought this property. And you got to know that man. But if you know that man, then it doesn't matter what's going on over there and what's happening on that side. What's going on over here will always trump everything that's happening on Grumpy Lane. Number 3. I got to hurry. Ooh, you're going to want to go home. Number 3 is a little more difficult. How many of you want to live here? Man, I don't blame. Buy property, right? Buy property and stay here. Only one problem with this place. You can't buy property. That messes a lot of folks up. You can't buy property here. You can buy property over here. I know people done bought so much property over here, man, you just know it coming. You own that. You can see their face. How long you lived there? 22 years. I believe you. I guess I'll die this way. Yeah, I guess you will. But over here, you can't buy property. That's what makes it so bad because if I could just do one session of praise and it would buy me the property and then I would own it, then I wouldn't have to praise no more, right? I'd be through. You know, I could talk about, well, I tell you what, I remember how it used to be in church. See, that don't mean anything. You can't buy property over here. The property over here can only be rented. And it's only rented on a lifestyle, on a heartfelt praise, do you make payments onto that rent? And the moment you stop paying rent over here, you have to move back to... You will be escorted off the property. Because you're going to say, no, but I know the Lord. Well, that's amazing, because the Lord said, if you to know me, then I will fill you with peace and I will fill you with joy, and it will overflow. It will be joy unspeakable and full of glory. And some of you in here right now don't have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Some of you in here right now, you're more leaning toward the grumpy side of life than you are this side. Can I tell you why? It's because you stopped paying rent. And when you stop paying rent, it's been amazing how it seems like you keep being dragged back to right over here. You don't have to pay nothing to get over here. Don't cost nothing. You can sit on your couch and get here. But to get there, you're going to have to put forth praise unto God. It's the only way to pay onto. Now, I want you to understand, it has nothing to do with situations or circumstances. Go back with me to that book. To the 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. In verse 18, all of a sudden something happened. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and did what? Now, this is amazing. Is there still three armies coming? Have they won anything? Look at the person beside you. Have they won anything? All that's happened so far is this. All the people got together. All the people began to pray. And one guy stood up, anointed of God, and said, let me tell you what God says. God says, don't be afraid. God says He's going to take care of it. God says He's going to win your battle. God says, tomorrow you're going to see some good things. And from that one testimony, the whole group of them jump up. Woo! We done won the battle. We done won the victory. We done won it. Now somebody in that group's going to say, you ain't won nothing. There's three armies still out there. I don't know what you do in church is one thing, and what you do worshiping God, that's fun and fine. But I'm telling you, there's still a battle going on out there. But so you don't understand, the battle's not won out there. The battle's won in my praise in here. The battle's won when I can praise Him before I go out. The battle's won before I can thank Him for victory, before I even go into the battlefield. The battle is won like David, when I stand before Goliath, hadn't even slung a rock yet, but I can look him eye to eye and say, Goliath, today you get to die. Today you get to meet your Maker. Today's your last day of bragging and cussing and carrying on. Today God sent me along, and I just thought I'd let you to know that I'm anointed and I've been called to win battles and victories, and you just happen to be on the next totem pole. See, our problem is that to move from here to there, yes, it requires praise to pay rent, but my situation hasn't changed, but my praise has to change. God, I know things aren't looking well yet. I know things aren't fixed yet, but I'm going to go ahead and declare that You are my salvation. You are my rock and You are my shield. You are my strong fortress. You are my right arm of defense. You are greater than anything that comes against me. You are my rock. You are everything that I need. Can I tell you that You will help me to be more than abundantly blessed? I will declare that right now I'm the head and not the tail. I will declare right now that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the Lord. I'm declaring right now, battle you already won. I'm just going to stay over here until they declare victory. I'm just going to stay right here until it's all said and done. Now we admire people that do that. We brag on, we read Bible stories about them, but it's the only way to move. Some of you right now are in some real bad situations. They're bad. They're life-changing. Divorce. Kids. Jobs. And I'm looking at you right now and I'm telling you, it may not change today. But it will change. You've just got to declare victory over it. You've just got to declare that God is stronger than it. You just got to declare, devil, you can go ahead and get your hands off of it. I'm telling you right now, remove your hands, because as far as I'm concerned, you've already lost. I'll die before I let you take that. I'll die before you get that. You are not robbing that out of my life. You are not stealing that from me. To do that, you're going to have to uncross your arms. You're going to have to get your praise on. You don't have to feel like praising, but you got to praise. It may not look like a good time to praise, but you got to pray. You got to know that when God has declared His Word and He says, I'm going to take care of you, you got to throw up the hands and say, God, I'm believing anyhow. I'm believing You're going to do it even though I don't see it, even though I don't understand it. I know You're going to make a way where there is no way. And it only takes simple faith. They got so excited, you know what they did? They went out to battle. You know how excited they were about their declaring God? They put the army in the back. They looked around, they said, who wants to lead this army into battle? Who do we need to put in the front? And somebody said, put the musicians in the front. Put the trumpet players. Put everybody that can has a stringed instrument. Throw them on the front line. Who else wants to be? Well, they don't need to stand up there by themselves. Put the singers up there. Let's the singing while we're playing. If we're going to play music, let's sing songs unto God. Let's sing about His mercy. And let's sing about His grace and His power. And they stuck them up front. And they said, army, you get in behind. There ain't going to be a whole lot of fighting to do today. There ain't going to be a whole lot of sword swinging today. We're just going to praise our way through this problem. And they began to march toward that army, playing instruments and singing songs. Can you imagine getting that much praise in your life that you walked out of here today, and when somebody said, man, don't you know it's bad, you just started singing, I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He paid the price on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I'm just going to sing my way right on through it. Victory in Jesus. I'm going to sing it and sing it. I don't care if I've got a CD in my car that doesn't praise God. It's gone. It's out the way. All I want to do is praise God. All I want to do is hear praises unto God. I don't care what it is. It's praising Him. I just want to hear praises until the battle is over. That's how the enemy does. Your praise is in here. And some of you, you went to your car right now. Your radio station ain't set on no gospel channel. It won't take three blocks before you done heard something. Yeah, that one felt so good. Leonard Skinner says it best. No, Leonard Skinner don't say it best. Bob Seger don't say it best. And there ain't no worldly person that ever been created, ever wrote a song. Elvis Presley can't say it best. Frank Sinatra, when he said, we did it our way, didn't say it best. It's only said best is when it says that God inhabits the praise of His people. That's when it's said best. When there's a God that cannot fail and He inhabits the praise. When I fill my car with praise and I fill my house with praise and I fill my life with praise and I fill my lips with praise and I fill my day with praise. That's when the enemy is fearful. You know all praise is? I'm trying to hurry. All praise is nothing more than an outward expression of your inward faith. That's all it is. You got faith on the inside and you can't contain it, so you just have to blurt out what you believe. Somebody says something, well, I don't see how that's going to work. And your faith goes, ooh. And something pops out of you and says, what do you mean you don't know how that's... You ain't never seen God do something good before? You don't think God can handle this? Lord, this is nothing to a God that can put stars like sprinkling water in a... This is nothing to a God that can carve rivers like you take your finger and carve them out. The Grand Canyon was nothing more than God scratching His finger on the bottom of the ground. Do you understand that we serve a God so big and so mighty that this little old thing you call a problem is nothing compared to my God? See, that's faith. It just has to come out. It's what I know. But you got to build it. Four things you got to do. This will be on the tape. You got to read your Bible. You got to have Christian fellowship. Some of you are going to have to break fellowship with people that you don't need to be hanging with. You think you're doing good, but you're not. You think you're helping them, but all you're doing is giving them somebody to come over here and sit with them on Grumpy Street for a while and let them complain. No, what you got to do is you got to live over here with that smile on your face. You see those pictures of those kids on that video? You see, even no matter, they was around people, just people, but you see the look on their face. You know what they were doing? They said, you got to come over here. You got to get to Praise Avenue. We love you and we care about you, but we are not going to frown with you and be depressed with you, and we're not going to complain with you, and we're not going to grumble with you. You're going to have to come over here because we come to bring you a God. We come to bring good news that there's a God bigger than your problem. You're going to have to exercise faith. Some of you in this room got a headache. Exercise faith. Lay your hands on yourself. In the name of Jesus, headache, you will be gone in 20 minutes. By the time this service is over and I'm through praising God, you will be gone. You say, brother, I did that 20 years ago. I'm a little bit past that now. And I just talk to it as it starts. Don't you even dare make my head hurt today. I do not have time for you. You have to learn to exercise your faith. You can't just say, well, I got faith, and stick it up on the shelf and then bring it out every Sunday and put it on display. You got to put it to work. Whatever problem it is going on right now in your life, that's a big problem. You say, well, I don't have your faith. You don't have to have my faith. I don't have your problem. Your problem is big enough for your faith. You're just going to have to invoke your faith on your problem. My problems are totally different. You've got to exercise faith. You've got to put faith to the test. Number four, you've got to praise Him in all things while you're putting it to the test. You've got to praise Him through it all. You've got to keep on. Because here's the thing about God. Sometimes He doesn't answer the way I like. Sometimes the answer is no. I don't like no. But no is an answer. Sometimes the answer is yes. I like yes. I always love yes. Sometimes the answer is not right now. Not right now. It's not time, Tim. Not right now. God, come on. Not right now. And then finally, the answer comes along and God just looks at me and says, Tim, I'm going to give you that. When you're ready. When you're ready. Those four answers are always coming in my life. So I have to learn to praise Him all the time. Because there's some things that I'll speak to and they'll say, God ain't letting us let you go. And I'm like, well, that's fine. Then I'm just going to praise Him until God changes His mind or teaches me what He wants me to learn, and I'll move on in. But I'm not going to quit praising Him. I'm not moving from over here to over here just to live with you. Last thing. Let me show it to you real quick. If I did all of this and I didn't show you how to, it wouldn't be any good. Too many times I see people, well, you need to praise God, but a lot of us don't even know how to. Can I show you real quick before I dismiss? Because you can't do that right now. I saw you earlier. You're not very good at it. But maybe by next Sunday, if you work on it, you'll be good at it by next Sunday. Yep. Look at the person beside you. Yep. I mean, I saw you. I walked in. I was like, boy, they doing it this morning, boy. Praise God. You know? We were struggling. It's hard to move from here to here. You got a lot of stuff going on. It's summertime. It's hot. I'm just getting here. Stuff going on. But you got to get over here. You got to. Here's how you do it. Number one, stand up. Give yourself some room. That's one thing y'all mess up right off. Y'all want to sit all close together like you're going to keep each other warm or something. I don't. It ain't that cold in here. I'm sweating. So give yourself some room. And then you just start by vocally. Praise begins first verbally. Remember what I said? All praise is the inward faith that I already have. Anybody believe in here that God is worthy of praise? He's worthy of it. He's worthy of praise. Well, then we need to do it. I'm glad you think the way I do. So here's all we're going to do. I want you to, at the top of your lungs, I want you to say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now, this time, at the top of your lungs, I mean, really, I'm not joking. I mean, like you really would. Like you was yelling at somebody down the street. I know some of you already done bowing out. You're like,
I can't do that. Okay.
Sure you can. You yell all the time. If I was to ask your partner, they tell me all the time, you got the biggest mouth. You just got to use it. You just got to put it to good use. You've been putting it to bad use. We've heard all you grumbling with your big mouth. Now we want to hear some praise come out of your big mouth. That's where it begins. So now, are you ready? Because here's how I do it. If I'm doing it, praise the Lord! See, I mean, it's just, man, there ain't nobody going to outshout me. I've been saved. I've been redeemed. I got a mansion waiting for me. And if you think I ain't got something to praise God about, I'm telling you, you know when He brought me out of the pornography and all the junk? You know He brought a wife into my life and three healthy kids? Do you have any idea how good God has been to me? Praise the Lord! He's been good to me. He's above and beyond anything I've ever had. I don't need a mic for that. So now, are you ready to praise the Lord? Then do it. Let me hear it. Oh, that sounds good. Do it one more time.
Praise the Lord.
Do it one more time.
Praise the Lord.
Man, see, if you walked in on Sunday morning with that type of mentality, the choir would pass out. They would. If they said, are you ready to worship the Lord this morning? And ask your congregation, praise the Lord. Bring it on, Jennifer. You better step up your game, Trent. I got you beat this morning. All you do is raise them up to another level. They had to raise their game. They had to raise. That's all we'd have to do. Ain't like that's all we'd have to do. That's all we'd have to do. Now, once I kind of get that in my mind, once I get that mindset, then we got to move to number two. And number two just means I got to lift my hands. Now, I want you to do the same thing. I'll say, praise the Lord. But this time, I want you to just take your hands and take your budget head and just wave as a wave off before the Lord. Are you ready? I don't know how all of y'all are ready. All right, let's do it. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Man, you're learning quick. Number three. Clap your hands. See? Praise is all the matter. Once you start doing what you're supposed to do, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Problem with those three is that over the course of time they can become a cannibal. You ever go into charismatic churches? Man, they can turn it on like water. I can carry you to places. I can show you worship. Man, hey, they can be sleeping with half the church. Don't matter. Buddy, when that praise music they got some praise now. They made that life may not be nowhere near right. But they can praise anytime. Three girlfriends to the wind. It can become mechanical. Just praising the Lord, or just waving hands, getting your jig on. I was raised charismatic, man. I can do all. I can jump any way you want to jump. But here's the one thing that I found cannot be duplicated. A shout. We all shout. And a shout has to come from the inside. And all the other stuff is... But what happens if when I watch people praise, if they're genuine in their praise... You'll hear them start
praise, boom, praise, boom. And they may get to clapping their hands, but then all of a sudden, when they break through, there's a shout that's unique to them. There's a shout that their voice can only carry. You say, Pastor, this is different. I know it's different for you. But I'm telling you something. There has to eventually come when it bubbles out of you to where it's just a shout. And it don't have to be loud. It don't have to be. It's just when my words stop being able to express what I feel going on the inside. You ever praise God that long? To me, it's a bubbling. Usually by the end, my tears are coming and I'm coming and it's just a like that. Can't fake it. I can't imitate it. But when I begin to praise, it just gets to a point where words won't do it anymore. And I just want to say I love Him. And I don't know how to say it. And my heart is exploding on the inside. And I can't find words to tell Him how great He is and how mighty He is. I'm past words. And I'm past expressions. And I'm past clapping. And I'm past waving my hands. I'm to a point now where it's just nothing left in me. But I just want Him to know I love Him. His instruments. And the Bible says, let the stringed instruments, let the harps, let them be played as praise unto God. You got any musicians still left in here? Out and fail them? All my musicians done left. I knew they'd go to class. He can sing. But that's the other part. It says to lift a joyful noise, sing unto the Lord. Psalms 33. Listen. And ultimately, the final, highest place you go, and this may be unique to you, but it's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Remember what I said? I reached the point where I don't have words myself. So many times we want the baptism of the Holy Ghost to be tongues. And that's a part of it. The introduction to the baptism of the Holy Ghost is tongues. See, the Holy Spirit already lives inside of you. You're saved, He lives inside of you. But because you won't praise and because you won't lift up Jesus, remember what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit? It says that when He has come and He resides in you, what is His job? To show forth who? Jesus. That's it. That's His only job. And it's not until you begin to praise and worship do all of a sudden He, as I used to use the illustration, do something, that little man inside of me doing flip-flops. And it's not about tongues. I can control my tongue. I can. That's part of it. I can stop it. I can go. But what I can't do is I can't control Him. He's got to come out. He's got to break forth. Some of us get all messed up. I want to show you real quick. God won't let me quit and drop this. In the book of Ephesians, I'm going to show you this. I didn't write this down. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Have you ever praised God to where the Holy Ghost just started singing on the inside of you? To where you just could hear the music when there was no music.
I believe the children of Israel that day, when they were marching out against those three armies, I believe they heard music when there was no music. I believe they were singing songs that went way beyond words. And as they kept marching, God kept moving. Can I tell you that that day all three armies heard of themselves? The Bible says that when they came over the top of the hill, there was not a man alive left to fight. They had killed themselves utterly. It took 3 days for them to collect all the rings off their fingers and all the spoils of war. And a war they never fought, but it took them 3 days. Do you know what they did on the fourth day? They praised God. Somebody got together and said, why don't we do that again? Why don't we just enter in one more time and just praise Him for who He is and what He can do and how great He is. I'm tired of living over there. I'm tired of being broke. I'm tired of my life. I want to praise Him, and I want Him to shine. I want Him to work. I want Him to win my battles. I want Him to be God. It begins and ends with your praise.